everyone, I'm Joanna Hausman Hattar Golfar Balonso Kern Doti Grobla.
Y yo soy Jennifer Lorenzo Gallegos Diaz Cotto.
And this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. And today we wanted to talk about something that you guys have been requesting us to talk about, and that is telenovelas. Drama! So today we're going to be talking about telenovelas and nostalgia. We're going to be talking about their success around the world and obviously the problematic aspects of it. But before we do, Jenny and I, we wrote a scene based off existing telenovela scenes that we're going to perform and translate for you in real time to get you in the mood in case you don't know much about this art form.
Well, in order to get in the mood, you have to like stand in front of a mirror and just maniacally apply red lipstick over your mouth as you say these things.
Jenny, I don't have red lipstick. I think just like my inner anxiety will have to do.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to so what we'll do is I'll do one sentence and then you translate it in the same. Okay.
Okay, let's go.
Entonces, ¿eres tú Escuincle Babosa quien estaba enamorada de Luis Mario Juan Carlos Andrés?
So it is you, drooling slug child who was in love with Luis Mario Juan Carlos Andrés.
Te vas a quemar en las llamas del infierno, desgraciada.
You will burn in the flames of hell, disgraced woman.
Truly not that dramatic in comparison to some other things I've seen.
I feel like in English it just sounds like a scene out of All My Children or...
You know what I sort of compare it to more than actual soap operas? I saw WWE with like my very American friend recently. And I was like, oh, people in ridiculous costumes, fake fighting and slapping each other, hitting each other with a chair. Like, this is a telenovela for Americans.
Except they're just missing some amnesia and a mysterious twin brother.
So, Jenny, I didn't really grow up watching a ton of telenovelas. I would like... hide in my grandma's room sometimes and watch them because my mom didn't allow me to. She would let me watch like really horrible news on CNN, but like would not let me watch telenovelas, which in retrospect is really weird. But you grew up watching a ton of telenovelas, right?
Straight up, I did. I don't know how I was allowed to, but it was the norm. I grew up, I was a fetus consuming telenovelas. I was named after a soap opera character, but on an American soap opera called All My Children. Her name was Jennifer, and she was killed off. great choice, mother. So that's where Jennifer came from. So my mom was a huge telenovela binger, whether it was in English or Spanish. And then my abuela, that was just her favorite pastime. She would sit in a rocking chair from like 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. consuming back-to-back novelas. Mm-hmm. And I was there for it. I was there for all of it.
What were some of your favorite, like, telenovelas in history?
Oh, man. I mean, the most iconic ones are with Thalia.
Oh, my God, of course.
Marimar, Mariela del Barrio, Rosalinda.
I just think that it's very funny because every title sounds like the beginning of a song.
Like, and it was, because she's a singer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because she's a singer.
Yes. But like, so she sang all her own theme songs.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Honra, bum, bum,
bum, Mariela del Barrio soy.
because the
I'm ready for a Premios Lo Nuestro with my singing, by the way.
I think that you deserve to be in all categories. Because I feel like their theme song was almost like a call to action. Like, you would hear the theme song, and then I remember my grandma would be like, ¡Es hora de la novela!
Yeah, you knew. Like, it was like a two-minute-long intro. I think one of the most iconic songs, aside from the Thalia ones, are Luz Clarita, which is about this little girl in pigtails.
Luz Clarita!
That's the one I was allowed to watch because it was a child.
Yeah, it was really annoying. And then there was Soñadoras, which was my absolute favorite. It's about these young, hip, you know, teenagers, I guess, played by 30-year-olds. And their theme song was epic. Like, the intros are epic. And it's why so many comedians, myself included, love to spoof them in videos. It's like this cloud background, and it's quite nostalgic. I mean, it's how I bonded with my abuela specifically. Mm-hmm. We would just sit there and watch hours and hours of telenovelas to the point that I still remember so many of them. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, I looked up to some of these characters. I remember I got a haircut once when I was 12 to match the actress in La Usurpadora.
Jenny, that, no, you did not.
I did.
Like, you grew up in Miami. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was actually reading up on this because I was like, why are telenovelas, like, so popular? Why do they represent Latin culture? Why is it also like the typical stereotypical thing to go to when spoofing Latin culture is always novelas? And like, and you know, as I was reading, so much of the viewership of these comes from Univision and Telemundo in the States. And what a lot of people say is this is the one place so many people not in their countries were able to reconnect with their culture.
Yeah.
Like, they'd work, you know, they live in the States, they work in another language, they work outside of their comfort zone, and then they come home and they turn on something that is produced or created from their country or a nearby country.
Yeah.
And it's like their way of reconnecting. What's very funny to me is I can probably give the synopsis of every single telenovela in history without even knowing what it's about. Like, oh, I can be sure. Like, it's about a poor girl.
Yeah.
She's poor. And then she finds a man that's rich and no one wants them together, but then they end up together. And then there's like always an added level, which is like they're actually brother and sister, or like he is evil, or like he is a twin. You know what I mean? But it's always that como que structure. Am I right or am I wrong that everything is kind of like a retold Cinderella story? And it's like way more fucked up, even though Cinderella is already kind of fucked up. Like,
oh, yeah.
What's going on there?
They follow the same tropes, right? Like, there's always going to be amnesia, good or evil twins, baby separated at birth, the poor woman marrying a rich guy. Someone's always trying to poison someone. The maid who's always chismosa in the corner. You know,
like,
there's always like a lady wearing like a scarf around her head with really dark sunglasses and sitting in a car ready to run someone over.
With a ton of lipstick.
There's the guy who falls off a cliff into a fiery demise, but then he ends up having one scratch on his forehead the following day at the hospital.
Looking hot.
It's always like the beep, beep. Beep. Those hospital scenes that my grandma couldn't watch. I'm like, abuela, there's literally nothing going on. Oh my gosh, hold on. I'm forgetting the main one here, okay?
What? Which one?
Someone gets pregnant and then falls down the stairs and then loses the baby. Like, they just fall down like 5 steps and they're like, ay, mi vientre.
But, you know, Jenny, I have a theory, and let me know what you think of it. I just have a theory.
What's your theory?
Is like, you know, all of these... stories are so over the top. They're crazy. They're insane. And, you know, I think in a lot of these countries where these things are produced, just the news and what's happening is insane and absurd and full of magical realism.
Mm-hmm.
That in order to have an escapist, like, narrative, it has to be this crazy. Like, in Venezuela, it's like, oh, yeah, like, we have a dictator and tire fires. And then, like, our president thinks he can talk to a bird and that's the dead ex-president. Like, there's so much absurdity that the only way for something to be truly escapist in Latin America is for it to be as absurd as a novela.
I agree.
Right?
I think it's a pretty good theory.
I think I'm going to write a paper and get a PhD in novela. No university would want it, but... So this leads me into the other thing I wanted to talk about, which is something that surprised me a lot, Jenny, mm-hmm. which is that, like, I thought telenovelas were only successful in Latin America and for, like, Latinos in the States. But it turns out that, like, telenovelas are actually hugely commercial in other places in the world that I had no freaking idea. I had no idea. So I want you to, like, guess 3 countries where telenovelas would be successful. Like, these are actual places where telenovelas have been a hit. And they're nowhere near Latin America or the States.
Well, I know two for a fact.
Okay, tell me 2.
Turkey and Korea.
Oh my God. How did you know Turkey and Korea?
Turkey was because I did a branded, a sponsored video for this Turkish telenovela channel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I, and when I was talking to the agency, they're like, yeah, yeah, we you know, we want to, we're trying to get more of the Latino audience to come and watch these Turkish novelas because it's really big amongst Latinos to watch these Turkey soaps. And then, but then Korea, it's because I have a lot of friends who are Asian and they're like, oh my gosh. And in the comments as well, when I would make Spanish soap opera parodies, a lot of Korean people would come in and they'd be like, Korean soaps are just the same.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot of the same tropes.
K-dramas is what, yeah.
K-dramas. Absolutely. So other countries where they're hits, which like some of them aren't surprising, like the Philippines, which was, you know, conquistado por los españoles. Claro, so yeah. I don't find that very surprising. But then there's like East Timor, Serbia, Czech Republic.
Wow.
And then I recently read a crazy article about the fact that one of Mexico's biggest telenovelas was actually an enormous hit in Russia in the summer of 1992, after the fall of the Soviet Union. Russian television needed like content. They were like, we have nothing. We've been literally in a communist dictatorship and we don't know what to do. We need to buy stuff to put on the TV. And they were like, oh my God, let's just buy this Mexican telenovela called Los Ricos También Llora, which
is
The Rich Also Cry. And that is The Rich Also Cry. Can we just think of something funnier for like a former, like former Soviet Union Russia buying una telenovela that's called The Rich Also Cry? I can't find anything more like poetic than this. But in Russia, this, it was one of the most watched things in Russia in 1992. Like,
whoa.
And so I was like, okay, why, how, and why? And I think it's because novelas are so relatable. And yeah. Yes, everything is crazy and out there and whatever, but like the dubbing of this telenovela was like terrible, but it kind of doesn't matter. Like the text doesn't, the dialogue kind of doesn't matter. You don't need to hear and understand what people are saying because it is so over the top and acted and visual and dramatic that you can just follow by just watching it on mute. Why, like the facial expressions don't actually represent real facial expressions. They represent like a caricature of what facial expressions are. So it's so easy to just translate into like the human language of emotion.
You can literally watch it as if it were a silent film because that's how outrageous the body movements are, their body language. It's
a slap is a slap no matter what country, you know?
Yeah.
Telenovelas have a lot of like insane absurdities that represent our culture in like a weird, over the top way. But, you know, there's also a significant amount of problems within the telenovela world. Like, a lot.
You know, when you're a kid, a lot of things go over your head. You're not really taught these things or you no one discusses the problems here. And then you get older and you're like, okay, so why are all the rich people the blonde, green-eyed Mexicans? And then then the poor ones, with the exception of Thalia, because whatever, the poor ones are usually indigenous actors.
But don't you think that even the, like, quote-unquote people that were the poor ones, even, like, the women specifically of those narratives were still like white.
Like, well, sometimes like in the case of Thalia and some of these novelas that she would do, it's true. I mean, if she was a lead, she was still made to be, she was still white. They would just give her braids and call it a day and like give her, she would be sin zapatos.
Which that's I think it. Is probably a sin zapatos. Oh my God, that's so true.
Like, oh, that's poor, I guess. She has no shoes and she has pigtails.
Like, that's poverty in Latin America is just the pigtails and no shoes.
Pretty
but
much.
Still super hot and clearly has plastic surgery. I feel like it does represent a lot of the beauty standards in Latin America, though. Like, even if they want to cast someone that represents a lot of what is a socioeconomic power struggle, like, they always adhere to the beauty standards of our countries, which, like, in a, I don't know, man, like, people are afraid to say it, but, because I always say, like, Venezuela has racism, and people are like, no, not at all. Are you crazy? We're not racist.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
We're not racist. Latin America no es racista, because we're all mestizo, we're all mixed, and it's like, well, okay, racist in the sense of, like, people who are blonde and blue-eyed are perceived as more beautiful and therefore are cast in telenovelas more than someone that's darker.
Yeah. And then it's a whole classist issue too, because then again, the light-skinned actors are usually the rich ones, the very wealthy ones living in the mansions. And it was always like the help, las criadas, who were indigenous or black. I mean, only until recently, you know, my friend Kat Lazo made a video back when we worked at Me Too called Telenovelas So White. I think it's now finally being called out. But damn, you know, it took a while.
And I mean, also in a lot of these like story structures, it was just so obvious to see like the portrayal of women. Yes, women were like the protagonists, but they were also put into two categories, which was like the virgin and the whore.
siempre.
Ay, por favor, virgencita, ayúdame. Ay, porque estoy enamorada de Luis Mario y es una florecita.
And then there was also like the old lady who was just like vile, like, which was funny enough, always played by Thalia's older sister, Laura Zapata. And she was Thalia's, like, in real life, her older sister. And she always played this, like, evil stepmom, very Cinderella. I mean, think about it. Most telenovelas were like Cinderella. There was, like, the ugly stepsisters. There was the evil stepmom. And there was, like, the poor girl, you know, washing the floors. And it just never painted women in a positive light. Ever.
Do you think that it's like, and you know, you've seen more than me, but I would like to gather that the character that you rooted for was the sweet, innocent girl that sort of didn't take her fate into her own hands. And then you had the villainess, which was like the bitch and gold digger and whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there wasn't a complex female character usually.
And they were usually rescued by the galán on a horse, you know, and they always then had to deal with the viejo sucio who like was in a ranch and
viejo like, sucio, like viejo verde, like he was like the younger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like they were always mistreated, slapped around, raped, just their self-worth was dwindled down to just, I don't know, their appearance. I have no idea. Like it was too much. There was too much emphasis placed on their relationship status. Like, that's all it was. Like, all of them. The villain wanted the guy. The ingenue wanted the guy. It was never very empowering. Like, you know, fuck all of you kind of thing. Like, I'm just going to fuck. I don't need no man kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't recall a single novela that wasn't about that. It was freaking Mario, King Koopa, and Princess Peach over and over again. I'm just so fucking tired of that. It's so just... And then the women were always so helpless. They're like, ay, Banya. I don't know. I'm sorry. They always sound like they're having an orgasm when they talk. The ingenues would always sound like, ay, Banya.
Which actually, like you just said, sounds like Princess Peach, her mumbling in Mario, when you would be between worlds. Like,
Mario!
I can't stand it. I'm like, really? None of you can kick this viejo in the balls? Come on, man. Come on. Stop writing us like a bunch of come mierdas.
Wait, Jenny. Wait. We have to be fair, which is that I do think the novela landscape is changing. It's changing to more modern times. You mentioned it before. You mentioned Casa de las Flores.
Yes.
It has a show. It includes... people from the LGBT community. There's even a trans character.
Yeah.
Then you have Celia, which is a story about Celia Cruz and, you know, Afro-Cuban character. And then you have a Venezuelan, Jane the Virgin, which is a woman who's like impregnated but takes power. Yes. She's like a virgin who's impregnated, but she takes power over her narrative. And it's like really empowering. I mean, it's still about virginity and about like pregnancy and like some weird religious undertones there, but it is about a woman taking control of her fate.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
I don't know. I think we're moving in the right direction.
I agree based on these examples. I want to see more of that, more inclusivity. I think people are just tired of the old shit. Just get... Basura.
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 We said it like Celia Cruz. Basura. Basura. Okay, Jenny. Now is the time where we share words that we like. So I want to share with you one of my favorite novela. I want to share with you one of my favorite novela insults because it's so ridiculous. Hit me. Monigote estúpido. Do you know what that means at all?
Monigote. No idea.
So monigote, I didn't know what it meant. A monigote is like a puppet, but not just like a regular puppet. It's like a black magic puppet, like a voodoo doll type of puppet who like that you use to, I don't know, cast spells on someone through magic. And sometimes these like puppets are like lodged in chimneys for some reason. So this, if we were actually going to translate it in English, would be like weird voodoo doll used in folk magic and witchcraft. Stupid. Like that's what monigote stupido means.
Oh my god. Oh, the
I wonder
best.
Who was the first person to pitch it. Like, oh my god, we need a word we need a word that makes men feel uncomfortable. We need an insult for a man. What can it be? It's a weird voodoo doll puppet and make him dumb.
Well, I've got one.
Okay, so show me.
I just like the way it feels on my tongue. That sounds terrible. moving on. I learned this word because of another classic telenovela where she also acts with her evil villain sister. The novela was called María Mercedes. Mm-hmm. So the word is Sarapastrosa. Sarapastrosa! Because, you know, Thalia looks like someone with fleas in her hair in every novela that she plays. And so that, do you know what that means at all? Sarapastrosa? So Sarapastrosa.
I don't know. I like imagining it's like someone in el pasto, in el campo, like someone that's like dirty-ish, but I don't know.
You're pretty much right. It means like dirty. In English, it means scruffy.
That's so appropriate because always when there's these like como que poor characters that you're like rooting for or whatever, they always start out the season just like dressed terribly.
They have like some dirty smudges. Like they have like a couple of smudges on their face.
And it's like, what? No one looks like that.
No.
Why are you? You're overdoing it.
And then like fingerless gloves. It's like you're going for the Madonna look. I don't know what you're trying to accomplish here with this. and then like a bird's nest for hair. But yeah, Sarapastrosa just means that. Like you have dirty clothes and you're just you're a mess. You're scruffy.
Truly, the insults in these things are symbols for how absurd everything about telenovelas are, and how, yes, we celebrate them, we also criticize them, and we also hope that they continue to evolve and, you know, transform into more modern pieces of art that we can enjoy and make fun of.
All I ask is that they keep the language just as colorful and interesting, without obviously being offensive.
Amen. Amen, Jenny. Amen.
But yeah, let's bring more Celias. Let's bring more Casa de las Flores, more LGBTQ+ representation, more indigenous and Afro-Latino actors into the mix, please, for the love of God. And also, you know, we're tired of being kidnapped. Can this please stop? Please, just
women
stop.
Don't usually get kidnapped this much. Let's just make a story about, I don't know, a marketing intern somewhere. I don't know. I'm just throwing an idea out there.
I don't know. Think Emily in Paris. Like, you know.
Should do Emily in Medellin. Please, let's just do that. Thank you guys so much for listening. We've been reading all your emails. If you have anything to add about telenovelas, about the crazy language that is used, or what you used to watch, please write to us at hyphenated@vitalia.fm. We read all your emails and it makes us very happy.
And we might do some live streams in the future on our social media platforms and discuss some of your comments and emails there.
Oh my God, that's so exciting. I'll see you soon, Jenny.
I'll see you soon, Zara Pastroza. Just kidding. You're not a Zara Pastroza. It sounds like a sandwich. It sounds like a deli slice. I would like to order the sandwich with the Zara Pastroza.
Oh, I'll do the Zara Pastroza on the side. Thank you.